Hello, I thank you for listening in today, and this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and we're going to study some more today on our lesson of the lesson letter H, and that is the Holy Ghost. We're studying about the Holy Ghost. This is probably, I think, around the fifth lesson that we have had so far concerning this, and let's recap just a little bit on what we have learned already. And what the Lord has shown us from the Word of God. And I remind you that we are indeed learning from the Word of God. This is not anybody's opinion. This is what the book says. This is what the Lord says in His Word. And if you have any kind of, if you ever hear me say anything that is wrong or false, I wish that you would immediately get a hold of me and correct me about it, because I don't want to be wrong about anything having to do with the Word of God. But make sure that you that you're right about what the Word says when you get a hold of me. And if I'm wrong, then I'll change the way I think about it, because I want to think like the Lord thinks, and I know you do also. So now we're in agreement about that. We have, looking back just a little bit, we began our study on the Holy Ghost talking about who is the Holy Ghost. You remember that? And what has the Holy Ghost done in times past? We discussed the scriptures concerning that he was there during creation. He's the author of the scriptures. He was there at the virgin birth. And he has been all through history. What is the work of the Holy Ghost today, we talked about? And what does the Holy Ghost do when we are saved? We even discussed that. Now, I think the last topic that we got into was, what is the relationship between the Holy Ghost and me? I think we've been through about two different lessons and taking our time to find these things out, that the Holy Ghost is our power of, and some examples of that would be the Holy Ghost is our power to witness and to serve God. He's the one that is responsible for us serving God. He's the one that makes it possible for us to serve the Lord. If it wasn't for God, the Holy Ghost, dwelling in us, brothers and sisters, we wouldn't have no power on our own to serve God. You wasn't serving God before you got saved, was you? No, none of us was. I mean, might have been going through some motions or something like that, but you wasn't serving Him like you're serving Him now, with His person living in you and the Spirit of Christ living in you. Now, we talked about the work of the Holy Ghost in me is to produce the fruits of the Spirit. And we went through the fruits of the Spirit. Do you remember that? And that was our last lesson. And we talked briefly about each and every one of them. The fruit of the Spirit is what will the Holy Ghost will yield, what you will yield as fruit, as evidence of God the Holy Ghost working in you and developing you. And these things come in various ways, and some of them are discussed as love, but we're talking about the love of Christ. We're not talking about this perverted love that's in the world today, and the devil's kind of love. We're talking about joy, talking about peace, and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and these things, the Bible says, is against such there is no law. And these are the fruits of the Spirit, and the Holy Ghost helps us to bear many other attributes of God, but particularly these are the ones that the Lord wanted to mention. And if we say that we are walking in the Spirit, then the fruit of our lives and our conversation, our manner of life, ought to be showing these things growing and maturing in our walk. And because God the Holy Ghost, this is the fruit that He brings forth. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to start out And we're continuing in our study of the Holy Ghost relationship between the Holy Ghost and us, but we're kind of going into a different category somewhat, and we're going to talk briefly about the Holy Ghost and giving people spiritual gifts, because He has, and the Scripture teaches that He has, and He does. Now, in let's go ahead and find some Scripture here. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'll begin there, and verse 4 through 11, the Bible says, "Now there are diversities of gifts." In other words, different gifts for everybody. Everybody's got different gifts. Some people have the same, but there's diversities of gifts, a whole bunch of different gifts. "But the same Spirit," talking about God the Holy Ghost, "and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit of the word of wisdom, and to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will." All right, we'll stop right there in that verse. Very good scriptures concerning spiritual gifts. And the Lord explained to us that there are diversities of gifts, and He mentioned one word twice in that verse, and it was that He had given to every man. The Bible says the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And then also it said in the last portion of that them verses there, it said selfsame Spirit dividing to every man severally as He will. So according to the Scriptures, if you are born again and you have God the Holy Ghost indwelling you, and you are in the body of Christ and you are saved, that the Holy Ghost gives spiritual gifts to believers, and He gives spiritual gifts to every believer. And according to the Word of God, you have at least one gift from the Lord. Some people have lots more. Whatever they can be trusted with. I suspect that that's what the Lord, one of the Lord's determining factors. The Lord is smarter than me, but I would say that one of the things that determines whether the Lord gives you and what gifts He gives you with is somewhat having to do with what He can trust you with. Because you'll notice in that verse that it says also that these gifts are given for specific reasons. That they are given, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given, why? To every man to profit withal. And it's not talking about profiting as in money or anything selfish or worldly or fleshly. What it's talking about is spiritual gifts for spiritual prosperity and spiritual fruit, to bring forth fruit in spiritual prosperity. So these gifts that are given are spiritual gifts, and they are gifts that the believers can use, and God the Holy Ghost helps us to use them in order to bring forth fruit for the Lord. Now, the Bible says that every Christian has at least one spiritual gift. And we found that in verse 7 and verse 11 that I mentioned to you, where it said every believer, and it said every man to profit withal. And it also said dividing to every man severally as he will. So according to the Word of God, you can believe that the Lord has given you at least one spiritual gift. He said everyone. Okay, now these spiritual gifts are not for personal use, but for the benefit or the edification of the body of Christ, of the church. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 12, the Bible says, "Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church." That's the reason that the Lord gives us spiritual gifts, is so that we can use them to edify the church. The Bible says, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal, but all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, you got to remember, brothers and sisters, that there's a lot of different thoughts and ideas about spiritual gifts and things that God has given to people in this world. And some of them are true and some of them are not true. Some of them are truth and some of them are fakes. And we can examine and we can see and judge by the Scriptures of what is God-given and what is not God-given. Now, I'm not saying, let's put it this way, what is given by God the Holy Spirit and what is given by other gods. Because there are other spirits. And when somebody says that they have a gift of the Spirit, the question is what spirit are you talking about? What spirit are you talking about? Because the Bible teaches us that the ministers, that Satan himself is turned into an angel of light, and it's no big deal that his ministers counterfeit these things. So, you see, we've got to understand at the same time when we're studying the Scriptures that the Satan comes along, and all through history he has duplicated and run parallel everything that the Lord has done. When it comes to these gifts, Satan can duplicate gifts and give to people and make it look like God the Holy Ghost's work. But it's got to line up with the book. If it doesn't line up with the Scriptures, it is not so. Okay? The Holy Ghost never does anything to violate the Scriptures. He's the author of the Scriptures. He knows what the Scriptures say. He's the one that authored them. Okay? So he would never do anything when it comes to gifts in the body of Christ to violate anything in his word. Let's remember that. But the Bible teaches us, and we've already learned today, that there are lots of gifts. And it says that the gifts are given for the prosperity of the church, for the edifying of the church and the body of Christ. Okay, so now we know why we are given the gifts. They're not for personal use. They're not for monetary gain. They're not for any kind of fleshly edification and glorification. It ain't, God's not ever going to give me a gift so I can stand up and glorify Thurman. So I can stand up and look like somebody and impress you. That's not what the Lord gives these gifts for. And remember when I said when we began about some people get at least one gift and some people get more gifts, and that it was my opinion that I thought that the Lord gave out gifts according to who he could trust and what he could trust them with. You see, there are some gifts that the Lord could give some of us that we couldn't be trusted with because of what our flesh desires and the things that we might try to use those gifts for fleshly reasons, or use them for monetary gain, or use them for the wrong reasons, which would not give glory to God and would not edify the church. Okay, so we understand that everybody has a gift, that the Holy Ghost gives out spiritual gifts, that everybody's got one, and they are not for personal use. The Bible has told us that in 1 Corinthians 14:12. They're for edification of the church and for the benefit of the church. Okay? All right. The next thing that we want to know, or can know and learn in this, is that some of the spiritual gifts listed in the Word of God. Now, this is the important part for you to get. There ain't nothing hard about this. There's nothing complicated or tricky. And God the Holy Ghost and the Godhead is not trying to play games with our minds and not trying to trick us in any way. We have to rightly divide the Word of God when it comes to these things of gifts and understand what was going on in the Scriptures and understand what some of these gifts' intentions were there for and why the Lord gave these gifts to people at that time. But what we're trying to say is that some, or what I'm trying to say, is that some of the spiritual gifts listed in the Word of God were temporary. Did you get that? Some of the spiritual gifts listed in the Word of God were temporary, and they ceased when the written New Testament was completed and when the Lord Jesus Christ came and ascended. These gifts, for instance, like tongues. Now, don't get upset. We're going to go through the Scriptures. We're going to see what the Scripture says. It's very easy to understand if you are willing to believe it. Whatever the Scripture says, like, for instance, tongues, for instance, miracles, for instance, healings, prophecy. Now, what we're talking about when we're talking about gifts, we're talking about not that God is not able to do every one of these things if he wanted to. He's God. But what we're talking about is gifts that are controlled by man that God has given you. For instance, like in the Old Testament, whenever the Lord gave the commandment to Moses to build the temple. Well, when he did that, he also told Moses that I have put my spirit into, I don't remember his name, I started with a B, I think, but anyway, he put his spirit into a man that was there under Moses, one of the Jews there, part of Israel there, put his spirit into this man and put his spirit into another man to give him a gift of being able to build the stuff and to design the stuff that he ordered Moses to have made. And when he did that, this cat could take a block of solid, pure gold and beat it out and make a candlestick out of it. Now, I don't know many people that could do that today. You have to have a machine and lasers and computers and blah-bitty-blah. But this guy beat it out of one piece of gold, and it was a solid piece of gold. And he also made the Ark of the Covenant, made the mercy seat. There was some of those people. I mean, the Lord gave gifts to those people so that they would have the ability and the know-how to be able to do these things that the Lord wanted. All the curtains that were putting up and the fence and the post and the sockets that they were setting in and just everything that had to do with building that temple, the Lord gave out gifts for those people to be able to do it. But what was the result of it? Well, the result of it was that God miraculously put his gift into those people for the ability for a human being to be able to perform and do the will of God in order for it to bear fruit of God's will and what God wanted in the end of that, whatever it was that he was wanting, the temple. You see? So the Lord gave out gifts for that purpose, and he gives out gifts for purpose today. And he told us what that purpose was. had purposes for the edification of the body of Christ, for the glorifying of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. Now, for the edifying of the church, the Lord has given everybody a gift. He has given some more than others, which is should not be a big deal to us. We should be thankful for the gifts that God has given us. One thing that we should do is to start praying and asking the Lord, what is it that you have given me that you want me to do special for you, that you have put in me that I can do for you, Lord? Okay, and that's a good prayer. And asking the Lord so you can know. You need to know what it is that the Lord has given you so that you can do for the body of Christ and do for the Lord. Now, some of these spiritual gifts listed in the Word of God were temporary. And they ceased when the written New Testament was completed, or not exactly as when it was completed, but as in the book of Acts, as from the time that the Pentecost, all the way up through the transitional period, and we'll get into that. But like I said, this is the ABCs of Christian growth. We're going to try to keep it simple, but I'm going to explain some of it to you. But it didn't just stop on such and such date. It was a progressive ceasing. The gifts progressively, in a certain period of time, after the Lord Jesus Christ ascended and the New Testament began to be written down, and before the Jews went into exile in A.D. 70, the gifts were slowly going away and going away and going away and going away. And there's a reason for that. But all of them did not go away. Some of them are still present with us today and are used for the glory of God. But some of them are absolutely and positively taken away and gone. They do not exist anymore. And the reason for that is a good reason. And God cut them off and did not let those gifts happen anymore for the reason that that he initiated them to begin with. Now, that's what we're going to get into. One thing I want you to remember as we're going through and studying these signs and healings and stuff like that is I want you to remember this phrase, and I want you to memorize it, okay? And it simply says this: the Jews require a sign. Say it with me. The Jews require a sign. Okay, now what does that mean? Well, that means just what it says. The Jewish people, according to when Abraham was there, the Lord began, when he dealt with those Jews, that the Jews were in such a frame of mind with the Lord that whenever somebody, if I went to a Jew and I said, God has sent me to tell you this, well, the first thing the Jew would do would not think about what I had said to him, but he would say, okay, where's the sign? And I would have to perform some kind of sign showing the power of God behind the message that I brought, you see. And that was part of the gifts that the Lord gave for the sole purpose of dealing with that Jew. It had nothing to do with Gentiles. It had nothing to do with New Testament salvation. It had absolutely to do with dealing with that Jew so that Jew would know that it was the God, the I Am, Jehovah, that was in the middle of whatever this was that's going on that needed the sign. Some of them were signs of tongues. Tongues were used for a sign, absolutely. But when we say tongues, what are we talking about? What does the Bible mean when it says tongues? Tongues, what are tongues? Okay, we're going to find that out. Miracles. We know what a miracle is. A miracle is something that man can't do, that somebody supernaturally has to do and has to have the power to do it. But some men were performing miracles. yes, that was a gift. And it was literally, it literally happened. It literally happened. Okay, healing. Absolutely. The Lord gave that gift, and man performed healings by God's power. Absolutely. That is scriptural, and we're going to see that. Prophecy. Prophesying something that was not previously known, and it came to pass. Absolutely. Absolutely. But some of these signs were given strictly for signs to the nation of Israel. Signs for them Jews. Now, what was the phrase that I give you? The Jews require a sign. The Jews require a sign. Remember that. Okay, now in Mark chapter 16 and verse 17 and 18, the Bible says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." All these things did happen, and they came to pass just like the Lord said and what Mark wrote. And all these things were signs, and all these things did come to pass, and they did happen in front of people that were watching it. But why? The Jews require a sign. The Jews require a sign. Now, there were a lot of miracles that went on, or a lot of signs that went on, a lot of spiritual gifts, let me say that. A lot of spiritual gifts that were given to people that are still going on today, that are still being given by God the Holy Ghost, that a man can do and perform for the Lord for the edification of the body of Christ. Yes. Okay, but some of them were temporary and they have been cut off. And the reason that they were cut off was because the time period that God wanted to use them was up. And he no longer needed those signs to be used anymore. So he cut them off. And we're going to see that. Okay, so I hope I hadn't confused you. I don't think I have. But we need to understand that some of the signs were only temporary signs for what needed to happen at that point in time in history. Okay, and that had to do strictly with the Jews, with the nation of Israel. Okay, and that was right around when the Lord Jesus Christ came, was and died and was buried and resurrected, and during the time that the New Testament was being recorded. Okay, all right. So we'll, as we go on through this, you're going to see, and we're going to use evidence of today, and we're going to compare what the Scripture says concerning what is out there today in society calling itself gifts from God. Are they really gifts? Are they really from the Lord Himself, the God of the Bible? Or are they from a God and not the God? Well, we need to discern that. We need to find the answers to that, because it's very important. Because we have to remember, like I said in the beginning, the devil is able to perform signs and miracles. And that's one thing he's going to do in the tribulation, to deceive the world, is perform signs and lying wonders, you see. So we want to be very careful that we're not deceived. We want to know the truth, remember? Okay, now in Mark chapter 16, I think I read that to you. Yes, I did. All right, but let me read these to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. The Bible says, and this is the... Now, what was that saying I asked you to hang on to? The Jews require a sign. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 22. The Bible says, "For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom." All right, now I want to read another verse to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 21 and 22. The Bible says, "In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and of other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that, they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them that believe." So you see the difference that the Lord's making there, and he's given us a little bit of evidence about the conditions for these signs. The Lord said that tongues are for a sign. Okay, well, who was it that needed the signs? The Jews. The Jews needed a sign. The Lord said that the Greeks seek after wisdom. The Jews are the ones that need the signs. Okay, and he said tongues were for a sign. And he also said, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. And he also said that prophesying serveth not, serveth not for them that believe not, but for them that believe. All right, I want to read another verse to you. And one thing that we need to understand is that around A.D. 70, or in the process of the time when the Lord Jesus Christ was physically here before he ascended, to the time of about A.D. 70 was when the Jews went into exile, whenever the city was tore all to pieces and they took prisoner and took all the Jews and dispersed them among the nations and they were exiled. Okay, is the Bible said that these gifts, that they would vanish when that which is perfect is come. The Lord Jesus Christ and the completed Word of God is what the Bible's talking about when that which is perfect is come. The Lord Jesus Christ came, he died, he was buried, and he resurrected, and he made the sacrifice for mankind, that where man didn't have to no longer be under the law, and he could be saved now. And in the process of the Lord Jesus Christ coming and the New Testament being written during that piece of time in history was when the signs came in and when the signs went out. But they were called gifts. But they were signs specifically for the Jews, because when the Lord Jesus Christ came, he came to bring the kingdom of heaven and offer it to the Jews. And if the Jews would have accepted him, he would have started his kingdom right here on earth then. But they did not accept him. Instead, they crucified him. So he cut the Jews off. And he let us in on it and gave us an offer of a new covenant, a new testament in his blood to where the Gentiles could be saved. And it's been 2,000 years that the Jews have been out there and away from the Lord because they denied him. And then during the tribulation, he's going to turn back to the Jews. And that's when we're going to be gone. We'll be up there with the Lord. So, you see, it's a matter of getting everything in the right time frame in the Scriptures as we read it and rightly dividing the Word of Truth and doing that with these gifts and finding out, well, wait a minute now, this gift can't be today because this gift was only used for a sign and it was only used during this period of time. And it was used for this specific purpose. Okay, now this sign can be today and is for today because this is something that the Lord is using in the body of Christ. And the church is here now, you see. So, that's what we're discussing. And the Lord said, when that which is perfect is come, and let me read that to you. Okay, and that which is perfect is the Lord Jesus Christ and the completed Word of God. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, let me read that to you. 13, and it's verse 8 through 10. It says, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Shall be done away. So you see, the Lord is saying that that there's some things that are going to keep on going, and there's going to be some things that are waiting for something else to happen. That which is perfect is come, and then when that which is perfect is come, they're going to go away. Okay? All right, now, Psalm chapter 19, I want to read these verses to you. Psalm chapter 19, verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect." Remember, when that which is perfect is come. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Now, and also in James 1:25, the Bible says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Now, also in 1 John, very important verse. I want to read that to you, and I'm going to give you these verses so you can go back and look at them. And we're just now, this is a kind of a preliminary study before we get into what we're really going to study, and that's what we're really going to look at is what about speaking in tongues and divine healers. That's what we're going to go into as we study about God the Holy Ghost, because it's very important to know whether or not God the Holy Ghost makes this stuff available for people today. And if he does, fine. If he does not, then somebody's lying. Okay? All right. So we're going to see what the Bible says, and we're going to study what the Bible says. Now, in 1 John chapter 1, and verse 1 through 3, 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, the Bible says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show it unto you eternal life, show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ." Okay, the Bible said when that which is perfect is come. We've seen scripture there that says that the law of the Lord is perfect, and the Bible says that charity never faileth, and then it goes on down through there, and it said that whether there be tongues, they shall cease; whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And this stuff should not, these verses should not scare you. This is not complicated. This is not something like some of the professors and all of them are telling you that you have to have 4 years of this and 6 years of this and blabbity blabbity bloobity blab, and you got to have all of this to be able to understand the Word of God. No, you do not. All you have to do is believe, and believe the Lord, and take the Word of God as it speaks. You take it literally until it proves otherwise, okay? And that's what we want to do. We want to believe God. We don't want to question Him. We want to believe Him. We have to believe that we know that the Lord would not deceive us and try to trick us. Now, the devil will, but the Lord won't. And we're not reading the devil's book. We're reading the Lord's book. Okay? All right. So we've seen scripture there talking about gifts. And like I said, this is preliminary. This is just setting us up so we can understand what we're fixing to learn. Okay? And the scriptures have told us that there are signs. There are signs given, and they were given from God to people to be used for different reasons. Okay, and that the Jews require a sign and the Greeks seek after wisdom, and that some of these gifts were given on purpose, so for a specific given period of time so that they could be assigned to a specific people, which were the Jews. There were some of the signs that were not meant for us, not meant to be affected, not meant to affect us, not meant to have anything to do with us. And that's the Gentiles. Okay, if you're not a Jew, then you're a Gentile. And if you are born again, you are neither. You're in the body of Christ. You are a son of God. Whether you be Jew or whether you be Gentile, you're one of three things. You're either a Jew, you're either a Gentile, or either you are a son of God. Okay? You're no longer a Gentile whenever you're born again. Okay, but if you're not a Jew and you're not saved, then you're a Gentile. Okay. I won't get too far into that. But there's only three things that you can be. And if you're listening to this, more than likely, you are a child of God. You're a son of God. Okay. And if you're Jewish and if you are Greek or you are Gentile, then you are still in need of the Savior. Okay. And you need to be born again, no matter what your title is. We are all the same. There's no Jews and Gentiles in the body of Christ. Okay? All right. And we'll study about that in another lesson. This is good stuff, and you're going to be excited to learn it. And you probably already know a lot more than I do and that you could teach me, and I would be thankful for it. But the Bible says, when that which is perfect is come. Well, both are true. That which is perfect did come, and that which is perfect in written form did come, and that which is perfect in the flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, did come. Okay, so when it comes to these signs and these gifts, there's some things that have changed, okay? But there are signs, I mean, there are gifts that are given to every man that has been promised at least one gift, that has been born again, and woman, okay? But we want to find out the ones that are no longer, and the ones that are trying to trick us today into believing that it is God indeed, the God of the Bible, that is authoring these gifts, okay, when he is not. Because remember, the devil himself can produce false gifts and false signs and false wonders, okay? So we're going to get into more of that on our next lesson. Now, every Christian needs to know what his or her spiritual gift is, and then use it in the body of Christ to benefit others. You got a pastor and you got a church or somebody that isn't been put over you spiritually. You should talk with them and counsel with them and find out, try to draw some truth and pray and ask the Lord what your gift is that you've been given that you can do for the Lord. And do to benefit, to glorify God, and for the church, for the body of Christ. Okay, and study through the scriptures, and it will help you to discern what your spiritual gift is. Okay, all right. So we're going to stop right there, and then on the next recording, we'll probably do just a little bit of recapping so we can remember what we've learned today. And I know this has been kind of confusing, and I hope I didn't make it too confusing for you, but it's really very simple, and there's nothing confusing about it. But what we've talked about today is to get us prepared for talking about what about speaking in tongues and divine healers, okay? We want to know what the Bible says, and that's what we're going to learn. So I appreciate you so much for listening in today and for studying the Word of God. And may God, may the Lord bless you and bless yours and your family and give to you and give you your needs and your health. And I thank you for listening, and I look forward to studying the Word of God more with you. Bye-bye.